Well, hey, I'm Pastor Brian, and we are so glad you are with us today. As we dive into his word today, as we're in this series called Hoarders, I just want to encourage you, this is different for all of us, but you can still interact, you can still engage. We have live hosts that would love to hear from you right now. Let them know where you're watching this, say hi, maybe give a high five, and feel free throughout the message to say hallelujah, amen, all the things you might normally do if we were in person. You know, we talk about being a shout out, talk back kind of church, so let's do that online with each other as well. In our Hoarders series, we are in Romans chapter 8 and walking through what does it mean to have this new identity, this new freedom in Christ. You know, this is a timely series because right now we're in a storm. We are in a storm that none of us expected, none of us anticipated. And this storm is affecting all of us in some way. It's a global pandemic that for many of us, you've probably heard this saying that we're all in a storm, but we're in different boats. In fact, here's an image from the Wall Street Journal recently and their art around this idea that we're all in the storm, but we're in many different boats as we walk through this storm. How it's affecting us looks different. Some of us have lost people or know people that have had COVID. Some of us don't know anybody, but we know the financial burdens and the losses, or we have children at home and we're figuring out how that looks, you know, with homeschooling. So yeah, we're in this together, but in many ways, it's affecting all of us in different aspects. As we look at this today, one of the things that I'm encouraged by and excited about is here in Southwest Michigan, there's a group of pastors that have been talking and meeting. There's unity being formed. We're all in the same storm, but we have different boats. And at the same time, we're saying we need to pray together. And so I want to let you know that starting May 7th, this coming Thursday, that is the National Day of Prayer, and we are joining other churches in Southwest Michigan for 10 days of prayer for hope and healing. And you can get information if you let our hosts know or you contact us right now. We'll get that info to you. We have a little packet that's been put together by the pastors, 10 themes for the 10 days, and we would love for you to be a part of this. Yes, we're all in this storm together, and prayer is going to hold us together. And so as we look at this today, we are in Romans chapter 8, and we're going to pick up in verse 19. It says this, I'm going to start in verse 18. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all of creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. As we get into this today and look at how do we win at waiting? What does it mean to win at waiting? This first aspect here is we see that there's a grieving and a groaning that occurs and that happens. We heard in this service today from Pastor Andrew, an important voice that reminds us that COVID is affecting us all in different ways. One of the things I want you to know as the pastor of Overflow is I have seen the effect, the grief that is mounting in our African-American community. Some of you have heard the statistics, but I need to let you know it's not just statistics in a church like Overflow. There has been no less than double-digit losses in the last 7 days as I deliver this message. Double-digit losses of people in our church that we love as brothers and sisters that have had family members and friends that have been lost to COVID. For some of us, we don't know anybody, but I want you to know in our church family, we do know people. And we see you and we hear you. And I just want to take a minute and just sit in that for a minute because verse 18 was very clear that we may suffer, we may go through some things. In fact, one of the things that many of us aren't real comfortable with is the idea of grieving loss, of actually sitting in grief and lament and saying, this is hard, this hurts. Maybe you know that Jesus was one of us, and that Jesus, in fact, in chapter 11 of John, wept when he lost his friend John. I'm sorry, his friend Lazarus. When he lost Lazarus, in the book of John, we see him weeping and grieving. So I just want to acknowledge that this part of the storm, maybe you're in a different boat, maybe you haven't seen that, but today you need to be aware of it. You need to know that there's brothers and sisters in our church family that are hurting. And I want to take a moment and pray for them right now. So will you join me? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you that there is a way to win at waiting, and it's by coming to you. And God, right now we come to you on behalf of those that are grieving right now, losses of life, friends, family members, community members. The Father, have names and relationships, time and memories that have been spent. So Father, for those that are grieving loss right now, I just ask that you would be there in their suffering. Be present. Give them peace. Give them hope. And Father, may we as a church family, whether it's the loss of life, the loss of the job, the loss of life as we knew it, I pray that we would grieve well together, that we would find hope in you. And Father, as we continue in your word, may you speak, may you be clear, may you have your way, and may we all learn how to win at waiting. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And so we see here in winning at waiting, there's a grieving, but did you catch it? There's also this groaning that Paul talks about. It's kind of a strange word, right? It's not a word we use all the time, but he's talking about this groaning that is there because of what we've gone through and what we hope for. And here's the tension that we sit in. In Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, we learn about the end. We learn about what Jesus is going to come back and restore and return to do. And here's what it says. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them.'" Now check this out. If you're grieving right now, if you're hurting, it says, "He will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." What an amazing picture of who our God is and what he has for us. And here's the thing, as we grieve and as we groan, as Romans 8 talked about, we're in this space in between. There's a tension there. In the kingdom of God, it's known as the now and not yet. That now we know who God is and what he's capable of. We get tastes and foretaste of the kingdom, but there's a not yet aspect, an aspect that takes waiting. And we want to win at waiting. We want to be a people that don't waste the waiting, that actually find God in it. It's in that tension that what's helpful to be reminded of when we're waiting and we just feel like, when are these stay-at-home orders going to end? When is this prayer going to be answered? When is this going to happen? It's in that space that our timing is always going to look different than God's. How do I know that? God's clock looks a lot different. Let me show you this picture. This actually is a clock that is in my parents' home right now. My mother sent me a picture of it recently, and it needs some repair. It needs some work. But as I saw that picture, I realized that's it. That's it. That our God is sovereign and created time and is not bound by it. That he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That while we are caught in time, our God is not. That's reassuring. That's encouraging. Because as we wait, what may feel like forever to us is just a moment in God's eyes. And here's the thing. We know this, right? When we're waiting for something, I just want to tell you, don't hold your breath. Do not hold your breath while we're waiting. We cannot hold our breath and be healthy. It makes sense, right? We need air. We need air, oxygen. We need to inhale and exhale. And some of us in this waiting period, in this tension, we're holding our breath. We're holding on metaphorically to things. We're hoarding what was, when I believe God is saying, will you breathe? Will you allow me to be your inhale and exhale? Will you let me into the waiting? Because I want to make you healthier than you ever knew possible. There is purpose in the waiting when we begin to breathe and inhale and exhale who God is and his plans and his purposes. Now, it's interesting there in the text what it says, right? For we all know that creation, verse 22, has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'm a guy. You see that. I've not given birth, but I've been in the room three times. We have four children, three bio, one adopted. I am so blessed. But I'll tell you this, our medical frontline workers, you are amazing, because I can't handle anything that's related to blood, medical health, any of that. We need you, because people like me, we can't hang. We can't handle it. So I can remember at the first birth of one of my children's, watching my wife in pain, watching the groaning. Now, here's what's so sad, right? There was actually a moment where I fainted. Now, as I fainted, I'm ashamed to admit this, right? I can remember kind of coming to. I didn't hit the ground. I just kind of blacked out for a minute. They, when I came to, had more medical staff around me than my wife who was giving birth. Yeah, I'm that guy. I remember sitting there and going, oh no, this is not good. She needs you, not me. And I got to tell you, anybody who has given birth to a child, you are a warrior and a hero. Because I'm convinced the human race would be extinct if us men had to do that. Just straight up. That's my theory. Because I watched that, and I watched the pain and what she was going through, the sounds, the groans, if you will. And it says that all creation is like that. It's waiting for things to change. Here's what's amazing. I have yet to know of a parent that holds, a mother in particular, that holds their child after labor that says, nah, wasn't worth it. I mean, right? The reality is, as hard as that is, as painful as that is, as deep as the emotional and physical hurt and fear and all of those things that happen are, the moment that new life is there, everything is changed. It was worth it. Think about what that means for us. In Romans 8, it's telling us that, listen, you may be groaning, you may be waiting. There is a hope, and it may hurt right now, but our God is giving birth to something new, and it's going to be worth it on the other side. This is part of what it means to be a part of God's kingdom, is to believe that. Now, notice that the author is saying there is this groaning, and then he goes on to talk about where we find our hope, where we get our confidence, and where we can turn when we're weak and just straight up not feeling it. Let me show you. Romans 8, verse 24. Here's what it says. We are given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must patiently and confidently We must wait patiently and confidently. Verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but for the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. Oh, God's word is so good, isn't it? It's so encouraging to look at this, because if we're going to win at waiting, there's a role that hope and the Holy Spirit plays. That in fact, hope and the Holy Spirit play a key role in winning at waiting. What he's saying here is that, in fact, when we're waiting with hope and with patience and with confidence, that is one of the ways that, we're going to win. So how are you doing? How are you? Are you waiting with hope, with an anticipation of what's to come and what is? Are you waiting with patience? I'll be the first to say that's the one I struggle with. I am not patient by nature, are you? And if there's ever a time and a moment where, we really are being pressed on our patience, it's now, isn't it? And so we wait with patience, and it says with confidence. And that confidence, we need to be clear, is a God confidence. It's a confidence in who God is and his ability to help us. You see, verse 26 and 27, we're clear. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us in our weakness. That we have a confidence in God and in the Holy Spirit that he places in us. That when we can't be patient, he supplies his Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, which is patience. When we lose hope, we actually see earlier in the book of Romans that hope comes from the Holy Spirit who he's placed within us. It's a foretaste of what's to come. It's a reality that we have today. For some of us, we get around the things of God. We get near the things of Jesus, but we almost panic and maybe even freak out when we begin to hear about the Holy Spirit. And I just want to lean into this for a moment, because if you're going to win at waiting, one of the keys is understanding that God is a Trinitarian God. There is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit has been placed inside each of us as believers. And when we're panicking, when we're trying to hoard or control things, when we're afraid, when we're impatient, when we're groaning, the Holy Spirit is there if you're a believer. And yes, even when you're under stay-at-home orders. When you're stuck at home, when you're not sure where to turn and what to do, the Holy Spirit is there to help us in our weakness. And that is such good news. That is such great news. And that's what the apostle is getting at here, is in our weakness, he brings alignment to God's will. You see, when we're waiting, if we're going to win, we want to use that time to allow God to restructure us and to align us to him. When we get aligned to God's will, things begin to just click and make sense. There's more peace. There's more joy. So I want to encourage you today to allow the Holy Spirit to continue in this time to rewire you, renew you, and realign you, to get you in alignment with God and his plans for your life. Now check this out, verse 28 and 29, amazing truth here. You think about like a truth bomb going off, here it is. You ready? Verse 28 and 29. And we know that God causes everything, say everything online. All right, did you say it? Everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. This is amazing news, and if we're going to win at waiting, we have to realize that God is about inside-out growth. That God actually wants to work on the inside through his Holy Spirit to not just change us, but to literally transform us to be more like him. This is a season right now where many of us in the waiting can find God and can experience him in new ways, and we're going to experience an inside-out growth. You see, when we look at what was just shared in that text, it says that in fact, all things work out for the good of those who love him. That means when we suffer, when we go through pain and loss, when we go through grief and groaning, God is working for our good. We may not understand it, we may not see it, we may not even feel it in the moment, but we can trust that God's character is good. And if we trust that God is good and trust his goodness, not our circumstances, that will be a game changer. Are you trusting that God's goodness is greater than your circumstances? And here's the thing, many of us are fixated, controlled by our circumstances. And what we learn here in verse 28 is that all things, say all things, Did you say it? All things work for our good because that's who God is. And we need to be really careful on the timing with this one. I'm going to just make this clear. There are moments when people have lost loved ones where we can come up and say, well, God is good all the time, right? God is good. He'll bring good out of this. And while that may be true, that might not be the moment to say it. That in fact, that may need to wait for another moment. This may be the moment to cry and to weep and to pray and to listen and to hold and to be there. But we also need to know that absolutely, God is good and we can trust His goodness. He bends all things for our good. And did you catch it? And is a part of that, this inside out growth. He's called you and I as His children to become like Him. Right now, one of the popular documentaries that's out there that many of us have been watching is called The Last Dance. It's about the 1997-98 Chicago Bulls, and I'm going to just straight up tell you, I grew up a Bad Boys fan, and so I was into the Bad Boys, so Michael Jordan was not somebody at that time in that era that I could celebrate, but I do remember a campaign. Do you remember it? That Gatorade went so far as to say, hey, be like Mike. Be like Mike. Drink Gatorade. Be like Mike. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm rocking my first pair of Jordans today. I don't know if you noticed, but these are my first and only pair of Jordans I've ever owned. Okay? So these J's, if you will, if I put them on, I'm not going to be like Mike. If I drink Gatorade, I'm not going to be like Mike. I'm just not. I don't have that level of athleticism or that ability. I'm not going to be like Mike by just putting shoes on or drinking Gatorade. That's outside in trying to be something I wasn't created to be. But this text, it says you and I, as His children, were created to be like Him. And that it's inside out, that the Holy Spirit in us is the one who changes us and transforms us. And we are invited to become like Jesus. We are invited to become like Him. This is such good news. Verse 30 is where we close today in the Romans text. And here's what it says. It says, and if chosen them, being called, He called them to come to Him, and having called them, He gave them right standing with Himself. And having given them right standing, He gave them His glory. Winning at waiting requires salvation and the Spirit. The salvation of God who saves us, who calls us, who recreates us as a new creation through His Son, Jesus. And it takes the Spirit. And so when we come to Jesus and we receive all He has for us, that's when we begin to shine for His glory. And I believe that many of us right now are sensing that something is different, something is changing. Our life is not going to ever be the same. And I'm not talking about pandemic stuff. I'm talking about spiritual and emotionally and physically. We're sensing that God has more for us. He's waking us up. He's saying, hey, my church, believers, unbelievers, wake up. Jesus has more for you. And He wants you to win at waiting by using this time to become more like Him, to actually be saved by Jesus, rescued by Him, filled with His Spirit, and transformed into a new person, the person that He's created us to be. That's exciting to think about. And I want to paint for you a picture in Acts 16 of what that might look like. In Acts 16, this is where we're going to close today. In verse 25, we see this moment where Paul and Silas have been locked up in prison. It wasn't because of a pandemic. It wasn't because of stay-at-home orders. They were literally persecuted and locked up in prison. And here's what it says, picking up in verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Some of you can't wait for those stay-at-home orders because you're ready to feel that freedom, right? You're ready to run. But check out what happens. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoners had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. Because in that culture, he had failed at his job. It would have meant the death penalty. It says in verse 28, but Paul shouted to him, stop! Don't kill yourself! We're all here! The jailer called for the lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down. Trembling for Paul and Silas, then he brought them on out, and he asked them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And I want to just pause there for a minute and say, this is how salvation happens. People see a God who has transformed and changed people, and they say, whatever those people have, I need a little bit of that. Whatever kept them from running, whatever allowed them to be a people that were praising and singing and giving hope while in prison, I need that. Let me just challenge you that there is a God that's saying, I want to transform you to be that kind of person. I want to, on the inside out, use you to shine for others. You don't need to run. I'm going to use you to help rescue others. And so he says, what must I do to be saved? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him and with all who lived in his household, even at the hour of the night. The jailer cared for them and washed their wounds. Then he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. He brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. It's in the waiting we can both praise God as believers and also find God as unbelievers. If you're watching, if you're paying attention to this message in this moment right now, I just want to say to you, God loves you. Jesus came for you. He wants to enter into your life, forgive you of all your sins, create you new, fill you with his spirit, so that you can be a different person and follow him in this new life. If you're ready, like that jailer who said, what do I do to be saved? I want to just take a moment and pray with you right here, right now, to receive Jesus, to be saved, and to be filled with his spirit. You can bow your head wherever you're at. If you're driving a car, don't do that. But anywhere else, we're going to pray this together right now to receive Jesus. Jesus, we love you, and we believe that you are the sinless Son of God that died, that rose again, that offers us life and life abundantly. Forgive me of all my sins. Fill me with you and your Holy Spirit that I could be more like you. Use me for your glory. May I shine for you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that with me, know that all of heaven is celebrating and we want to celebrate too. We have live hosts who would love to hear from you. In fact, let us know. High five. There may be something there, a banner you can click and let us know. We want to celebrate with you that you just came into the kingdom of God, that you now are his, that you've experienced salvation and that his spirit is with you. For those of you in this moment that are believers, I want to encourage you to take this season to really ask the question, Holy Spirit, how are you going to help me win at waiting? How are you going to transform me from the inside out? How can I be like Paul and Silas? How can I be someone that God, you use? They were praising and they were worshiping. And did you notice in the very last verse, it says that they set a meal before them. Right now, we're going to receive communion together and then go into a time of praising and worshiping God. As we do this, know that when we receive communion, you can go ahead and get your elements right now. Grab crackers or bread or juice, whatever you have available at home. As I grab mine, I've got a little bit of juice here, and I've got a wafer that symbolizes Jesus's body that was broken for me and for you. His blood, symbolized by the juice, the atoning sacrifice that covers our sins, not just once, but daily. He renews us. We come to him because we need him. So as we receive communion today, I want to pray over this to be a time of renewal and refreshment. I want to ask that the Holy Spirit would begin on the inside out to change us and transform us even in this moment right now. And then when I'm done praying, we are going to sing a song with our Water's Edge worship team that I believe is going to cause you to get up and stomp and clap and sing and praise God. They were in prison. We can praise them wherever we're at right now. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, that you came, you died, you rose again, that your body that was broken, your blood that was shed is enough. It is finished. You are the one who has fulfilled all of the requirement of the law and offers us new life. So as we receive communion today, we come to the table to share this meal with you, to say, Jesus, thank you. We also want to repent of our sins. We want to confess them. We want to be set free that we could be filled in new ways. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do in this moment. May we experience you in new ways, walk with you in new ways, and shine for your glory. Bless this time of communion and bless this time of praise and worship. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So as you receive communion at home, our Water's Edge worship team is going to take us in to holy water right now. Let's stand, let's clap, let's sing together and celebrate this amazing God.